I tell you what, it is so great when people can motivate us, and particularly from various perspectives. John Robinson is one of those people. And in a way that we may not have considered to be motivational or inspirational, he had an issue going on with his brain. Let me bring back the conversation that helps us tap into, get an insight into how he took this bag of lemons and made some sweet lemonade. Hello, and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. It is good to have you all with us. I tell you what, we have guests who really help keep life very, very interesting. In fact, Mr. John Elder Robison is joining me today to talk about, well, something that he got himself involved in that I think some of us would have said, wow, I don't know, it sounds kind of interesting, but I don't know if I can do this. Mr. John Elder Robison, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on with you today.
It is truly my pleasure. You are a brave man of great courage.
Yeah, so many people say that. They think that for me to take part in an experiment aimed at maybe rewiring our brains, that I'd be crazy or foolish to do it, but I never really had a lot of fear or hesitation about it. I mean, these people are, you know, at Harvard Medical School, it's not like, you know, rewiring at the local tattoo parlor or something.
So you had some level of confidence that things are going to be okay.
Yeah, I think so. And also, I think it helped that I had worked with the electronic technologies they were using when I worked as an engineer. So the technology of it didn't scare me, and I think that might have given me a sense of false confidence. In fact, my friend who's a radiologist suggested exactly that to me. He said that just because you know all about how an X-ray machine works doesn't mean you know anything about setting broken bones with it, you know, and I guess that's true.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Robison and I are talking about some things that took place that I definitely want you all to plan to read about. He has a book entitled Switched On, a memoir of brain change and emotional awakening. John, if you could share with us some of the prior experiences that you had beyond your work and familiarity with technology that gave you the courage to go ahead and take this step to let these men and women work with your brain. And then, if you would, tell us more about specifically what they were trying to accomplish.
I had grown up in the 1960s as an autistic person in a time when autism wasn't recognized in folks like me that could talk. So instead of saying I was autistic, people said I was stupid or tricky or devious or lazy. And I didn't learn that I'm autistic until I was 40 years old. Wow. When I did learn that, it made a huge difference in my life, having a non-judgmental explanation for why I'm the way I am. And I eventually decided to write a book to share the idea that it's possible for people who grow up autistic to be successful, not in spite of their difference, but because of it. And that book was Look Me in the Eye, which kind of took off all over the world. And one result of that is people began inviting me to take part in different things. And one thing I was invited to join was a research study being done by some Harvard Medical School scientists where they proposed to use a technique called TMS, transcranial magnetic stimulation, which is a therapy that's used to treat depression and they proposed to use it in a different way to see if they could treat and relieve the autistic inability to read body language and emotional cues from other people.
Interesting. And how did they decide that working with someone with autism would be particularly beneficial for their study?
Well, the first of all, autism is a condition that's defined by having communication challenges. Some autistic people have difficulty speaking or understanding speech. Other autistic people, like me, are very literal, and we have difficulty understanding body language and emotional cues. They, I think, had an idea of the power and promise of TMS from their work in depression, and they thought that it might have a benefit in autism. And autism is not the only thing being explored. Right now, scientists are exploring TMS to treat addiction, to relieve anxiety, to help focus in ADHD, and they're actually looking at it to suppress Parkinson tremors and also epileptic seizures. So it's more of a broad psychiatric or neurological tool, and autism is one of many things that it could be used to help with.
I got you. And you mentioned that one of the benefits for the person who is autistic is that they could get to a point where hopefully they would be able to read those cues from other people so that social connections would be improved. Did that turn out to be the case for you?
It did turn out to be the case for me, but the downside of it was that when I could read these emotional signals from other people, a lot of those signals I read were kind of unpleasant. You know, they were greed or avarice or fear or anxiety, and I realized that the world is full of negative emotion, and to some extent, being autistic had insulated me from that. And so when I did this therapy, it kind of stripped away that protective layer that I had always had. And that was a hard thing for me.
So you had to adjust to this new world of negative.
That's kind of true, to put it that way, yeah.
So, and you mentioned that when you had autism, you were shielded from all of that connection with the negativity, the negative emotions. By that, were you saying to us that you no longer have autism since this therapy took place?
Oh, no, definitely not. There's no question that I was autistic before and I'm autistic now. What I meant by that is that autism was always a protective shield for me in that way, and by activating this emotional insight, that shield was removed, but at no time did I cease to be autistic. I'm still autistic.
Mm-hmm. So now, how did it affect you positively? Other close relationships where even though you can read those emotions better, it's still better for you that you're able to pick up on those cues? Marriage, children, relationships with them?
It changed my relationships. It upended my marriage, and I was divorced. It helped reconnect me with my son. The biggest place it affected me positively was in my ability to engage strangers, either at work or, you know, at conferences and talks, because when you first meet someone, you only have a short window of time for them to think that you're okay. And before, I couldn't do that, and I think now with this new sense of connectedness, I can. And that is that's a big plus for me.
That's outstanding. And one of the things that, as you were sharing with us from the beginning, they wanted to do was use the technology to stimulate your brain. And so they were actually trying to stimulate the outer layer of your brain. And for the purpose of inducing that rewiring that would actually increase your emotional IQ.
That is right, and that did work, and I think that is the stuff of science fiction come true. It really is. I think the idea that a tool using electromagnetic energy can reach in from outside your head and help your brain rewire itself, that is a really a remarkable concept, and I think that that should be incredibly inspiring to people with all sorts of psychiatric conditions for which they seek help, whether that is wanting to have better emotional insight in autism or whether that's wanting relief from depression or anxiety. I think that the promise of TMS as a tool to help people in the coming years is just tremendous.
I have got to agree with you. This is amazing. It's fascinating. And I want to take my hat off to you for being willing to have taken what was certainly a calculated risk, but nevertheless a risk. And I am glad that the results have been so positive and that they're so promising.
Well, I'm glad for that, too. I mean, it was a rocky road at times, as I say in the book, but I'm glad for that also, yes.
So please let everyone know where they can get the book Switched On.
Switched On goes on sale everywhere March 22nd. It's a Random House book. They're the biggest trade publisher in the world, so the book should be lots of places. You can buy it online, and it's available as an e-book, a print book, and it's an audio book, which I narrate. So all those versions are out there, and if people want to engage me, I am at John Robison on Twitter. I'm John.Robison and John Elder Robison on Facebook.
And ladies and gentlemen, he mentioned that he is still autistic. Don't let that fool you. The man is sitting on boards and committees of the National Institutes of Health, the CDC, and private foundations, and he is co-chairing the Neurodiversity Initiative at William & Mary. Again to you, hats off to you, Mr. Robison.
Thanks so much for having me on with you.
Quite welcome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, get the book Switched On.